episode 15 of the podcast. I'm Hannah, and all right, you want to cut in again?
Yeah, you keep going. And I'm Sarah.
And we're the travelling too. So we're now in Phnom Penh in Cambodia.
Phnom Penh.
Is it?
You keep saying Phnom Penh.
I thought it was Phnom Penh.
No, it's Phnom Penh. You have been subtly.
Have you waited to correct me until the podcast?
No, I haven't waited, but I wanted it to be correct for the podcast, so I was waiting until you would get it correct.
Oh, well, like,
did you haven't still?
I thought it was Phnom Penh.
No, the whole time we were reading the book earlier, I was saying Phnom Penh, and then when you went to read, you went Phnom Penh, and I was like, she doesn't listen.
I thought PH make an F.
No, but everyone here says Phnom, so I'm.
Do they?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
That's why I've been saying Phnom now, even though it would make sense for it to be PH.
Did you used to call it Phnom Penh?
Yes, I did, and then I changed it.
Right, so I'm not, like, going insane.
No, you're not.
Hold on.
Phnom Penh.
Oh, okay, Phnom Penh. Oh, you didn't correct me earlier. I was unaware of this.
I didn't want to try and correct you, dude. I wanted to see if you were going to take on what I said last week.
Well, I didn't. Anyway, we've been in Phnom Penh.
Yeah.
Correct?
For 2 and a bit days.
2 and a bit days. So we had our last few days in Bali, and we've now made it to country number 3.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to...
Having a great time.
We're going to be exploring Cambodia for the next couple of weeks.
Yeah. We're planning on spending like 10 or...
10 to 14 days.
14 days. However long it takes us. When we're bored, we'll move on.
Yeah.
But how are you feeling about Cambodia?
Yeah, it's been good so far. It's like a different feel to Bali.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like Bali was a lot more... Like, everyone felt... Not that people aren't friendly here, but everyone was, like, overly friendly in Bali. Mm-hmm. Like, really, like, went out their way to help you. Whereas here, just, like... normal kind of, like, you're not bombarded a lot, you're mm-hmm. kind of like left to do your own thing.
But
Phnom Penh is a very nice city. How are you enjoying it so far?
I'm way preferring it to, they're very different countries, so you can't really compare them, but I think I'm already preferring it, and I'm already feeling quite settled in Cambodia. I think I just like it when they don't treat you any different to
Yeah, that is the difference.
That's the main difference. In Bali, it's literally, you're a tourist, so let's do this for you and let's do that for you. And whereas here, it's like, oh, you're just, like, they don't really bat an eye. Like, they do, but, like, not really.
Not so much, yeah.
No, and they just let you be, which is quite nice.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm liking Cambodia. So, last time we recorded the episode, we were in Uluwatu.
So, Uluwatu's, like... What is it, a city or a town?
Is it? No, it's an area.
A region. Yeah, okay, a region of Bali. It's like the south of Bali.
Mm-hmm. Really well known for all the surf that you can do there because the waves are really good. And, like, there's a lot of Australians that like to reside in Uluwatu, I think.
Yeah, there's, like, so many beaches in Uluwatu. I think it's quite known for yoga as well.
They have a lot of
yoga places in Uluwatu.
Yeah, it's quite resorty as well. Like, a lot of the rich and famous go there. Actually, we think, for any of you Selling Sunset fans, Chriselle was definitely in Uluwatu about 5 days before us.
But yeah, we didn't see her.
But yeah, to any of you who know who I'm on about, Chriselle Stouse.
She was there at one point.
Yeah. What did you rate Uluwatu?
I would give Uluwatu... A 9 out of 10. Yeah, I really liked Uluwatu. I would say it was strong. We had the best food there.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the best, like, food in general that we've eaten, I'd say, was in Uluwatu. Really lovely beaches. We did yoga there, which was, like, just, like, really fun and just, like, really nice way to start the day. The first day we arrived, we went to GWK Park.
Yeah, which is... Ooh, what's that actually stand for?
Okay, let me go check.
Garuda Visnu.
It's a... Garuda Wisnu Kenkana.
Yeah, that park.
Cultural park. The reason we went there was because of Katoot, who we spoke about him in the last episode. We stayed with him in Mundok, and he had told us about what he claimed to be the tallest statue
ever.
Did he claim it to
be? He said it was as big as Dubai Tower or something.
Yeah. So he was like, you have to go when you're in Uluwatu. So we did. I wouldn't say it was as big as Dubai, whatever he was comparing it to. Like, it was a big statue, but not that big.
Yeah, it was just a lot of statues.
There was three statues.
Gods. Yeah, well, not the gods, Garuda, like the mythical creatures.
Yeah, there was three.
Hinduism.
Yeah, there was three giant statues, and there was like a dance performance that we saw as well.
Mm-hmm. Ketchak dance, very weird.
Yeah,
all of the Balinese like cultural dances are.
They're very similar.
They're quite similar. They're quite cool to watch though. They all have like this bird eagle. All of the costumes are quite scary as well.
Yeah, so we went there. And we just beach hopped a lot.
We went to Bingham Beach, which was really nice. We went to Padang, and we went to Thomas Beach, the well-known ones around the area.
And we also watched sunset at Sullivan Beach at
like a bar called Single Fin, which was really nice to just watch sunset. Yeah,
we'd definitely recommend it.
Yeah,
what would you give it?
I would give it an 8 out of 10. Like, I really liked it, and I thought it was very chill. But again, I just don't like the. Like, the food was really nice. Like, everything is too nice. As in, I don't know.
It was still Bali, is that what you're trying to say?
No, it's not that. It's more like, it feels more superficial, I'd say.
Yeah, that's
the vibe that I get from Uluwatu. People go there just to, like, take photos of their smoothie bowls, which obviously we did too. But, like, and to, like, do yoga and feel all zen. And it just feels so, like, fake. I'm like, oh, like, that's not real life. So, for that reason, I wouldn't give it, like, as high. Like, it's still really nice to visit.
Yeah. It's not... The differences that we've found is that in Australia, when we would go out, if we would, like, treat ourselves to a meal, it felt like, well, you know, we were treating ourselves. So we cooked a majority of the time, and if we went out, it was
special.
It was special. It was a treat. Whereas since travelling Asia and you go out for meals often, every day,
yeah.
that you don't cook for yourself because they just don't have the facilities to do that, it's not, like... special anymore, if you like, is not.
Yeah.
So that I feel like that's what you're. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, that's what I mean. But I mean, the food there was incredibly nice.
Yeah, we did.
And it was special
really nice
in
places.
The sense that it was just. It was nicer because, as well, the days before we had just been eating like nasi goreng.
Yeah,
and, like,
in Noosa, we had just been having the same
more,
thing.
More like plain
again
food,
again.
Whereas here we like did have really nice food.
Yeah, we did.
So it was a really nice change. So Uluwatu, I'd give an 8. Actually, we went to the Loft. I will give this one recommendation for food place. The Loft. We went and got a Biscoff smoothie, and honestly, the best Biscoff smoothie ever. Would go back to Uluwatu and Bali just for that Biscoff smoothie.
Just for that Biscoff smoothie, yeah.
It was really, really good.
I'd recommend. I think out of all the places we ate there, I would say Suka Espresso is probably number one. Not based on necessarily the food we had, but just like... the feel and
overall
the menu
vibe.
And the overall vibe, I'd say that was just like, I'd recommend going there.
Yeah.
And it's like literally also opposite Thomas Beach, whereas all the other places that we ate were like a bit of a walk to the beach.
And you can't really walk because there's no pavements.
That's just a general thing I would say for, well, I want to generalise it for Asia, but we have only been to Bali and Cambodia so far. But... so far there is limited pavements.
Yeah.
Most people don't walk.
Yeah. After Uluwatu we went to Kuta. So the only reason that we really stayed in Kuta was because we wanted to go to Waterbomb Bali. So shout out to my sister who recommended this. Waterbomb Bali is, well, a claim to be the number one. It was
in 2016 and 2017, I think, as well.
It was named, Waterbomb Bali was named the best water park in Asia and second best in the whole world, which is a big claim.
I'm not sure it still is up there as
Yeah, so we, the night before we went to the park, we went to Kuta and we walked around the area for a good hour.
Trying to find somewhere to eat.
Yeah, the difference between Kuta and Uluwatu was definitely, there was... like, nowhere to eat. Like, there was, but...
Kuta had a very different feel to it. It felt like it used to be, like, maybe, like, a good few years ago, like, a big town that lots of people, would like, tourists would go to and visit. And it's right by the airport, so people would either start or finish their travel sort of there. But I feel like now, maybe as a result of COVID, maybe just because Seminyak or Canggu are the towns that are near to the airport as well, have become bigger. It's just a lot of it was shut down. It didn't feel very... It wasn't very vibey. It felt a bit dead. It felt a bit dodgy.
Very run down, I'd say.
Yeah, it just felt very, very run down.
Yeah.
And there wasn't really anywhere that you would just, like, sort of wander across that you wanted to go and eat at.
Yeah, no, so we literally walked around the whole area for an hour, and then we've actually found a chain called Santorini, which we had eaten at in Canggu.
It was really good.
Greek
so.
Food, really nice. But yeah, so I wouldn't rate Kuta that high. What did you give for it?
No, I give Kuta like a 6, I'd say. Like, with Waterborne Bali.
That's quite high.
What, you give it lower? I'd say, like, with Waterborne Bali, and it has Kuta Beach, and you're near Seminyak and Canggu. If you hadn't done those and you were going to stay there, like...
I would literally only stay in Kuta for Waterborne Bali. And even then, you can stay in Seminyak and go
and
to Waterborne Bali
to
for
Waterborne
the day.
Bali, yeah.
So I give Kuta a 4 out of 10. Maybe 3. But, like... Waterborne Bali was 100% definitely worth going to Kuta for. I loved Waterborne Bali.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's worth going to Kuta for. As in, like, I feel like you can come to Bali and not do Waterborne Bali.
Yeah, that's true. It depends how much you like water parks. And...
It's a good water park.
You didn't go on the rides.
I didn't do anything, so maybe that's why.
You can't say I loved it.
I'd still rate Kuta, like, as, like, yeah, maybe. I wouldn't say you have to. Like, I wouldn't go to Kuta personally. I'd go to... Seminyak, Canggu and Uluwatu and just like get a car back to the airport from there.
Yeah.
Maybe I gave it too high. Well, then we had like a whole travel day the next day with 2 flights at stopping in at Singapore for a couple of hours and then arriving in Phnom Penh on Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
Phnom Penh.
Yes. We arrived at like 7 p.m. at our hostel and we're staying in Mad Monkey, which is a hostel chain.
They have them all over Asia. They have one in Australia as well.
Yeah, they're really, really good. We've just got a private room at the moment because we wanted to chill and get some good sleep before we keep...
Overnight buses.
Yeah, before we start doing overnight buses and that kind of stuff. But yeah, it's really nice and social. Like, there's a nice restaurant.
Restaurant, bar, swimming pool. There's a laundry facility. Like,
yeah.
24-hour reception.
Would really recommend.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah. We've been here for 2 days. Yesterday, we spent the day walking around Phnom Penh. We tried to visit the Royal Palace and the Silver Pagoda, but that's unfortunately shut at the moment, ever since COVID, really. So we couldn't go in there. But we visited some other sites. We went to Wat Phnom, which is a Buddhist temple in the middle of the city.
We went to Central Market,
mm-hmm.
which is... just like the giant, giant market right in the centre.
Yeah. We also went to the National Museum of Cambodia, which we were really looking forward to because we thought it would be quite informative, but actually it turns out to just be a bunch of Hindu and Buddhist statues.
It's quite expensive for literally seeing more statues, which you can see like
all over
the
city.
City.
Yeah, so I wouldn't recommend seeing that if you're in Phnom Penh at all. And then we went to the night market last night as well. That was good. If you're into buying fake clothes and that kind of stuff, there's a lot there.
Yeah, and that's the same with Central Market as well. Like, we weren't super impressed by Central Market or really the night markets. But, like, if you like sort of fake clothes, fake watches, that kind of thing, fake
yeah.
shoes.
Go for
they've
it.
They've got loads in Phnom Penh.
Yeah. And then today we actually went to... the Genocide Museum.
Yeah, so it's the S21 prison, which I'd say, like, that, and then we also did the Killing Fields, is kind of what...
Everyone comes to.
Yeah, Phnom Penh is, like, known for.
Yeah, so we didn't actually know this before travelling at all in, like, Cambodia. I don't think a lot of people know about it. We're not really taught it in history, but a lot of Cambodia's recent history, like, 40 years ago... there was a big civil war and there was mass genocide just for, like, absolutely no reason apart from a few people wanting to take power.
Just,
and
just using power and abusing power.
Yeah. And the museum was really, really good. As in, very harrowing, but really, like, everyone
really,
should visit it.
Yeah, definitely visit it. We met a survivor and, like, the tour guide around the killing fields was really informative.
Yeah. So what would you rate Phnom Penh?
I give it a 8 out of 10.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
What would you?
I gave it a 7 out of 10.
7?
I feel like the city as a whole isn't that nice.
Mm.
Like, and especially yesterday when we were walking around, like, because the Royal Palace is shut and Silver Pagoda is shut, it feels like, I don't know, there's not a lot unless you're coming for the museum and the Killing Fields. And, like, we really don't need any more than 2 days. Like, we're leaving tomorrow.
Yeah, as in, like, I feel like we've seen everything it has to offer mm-hmm. in 2 days. Like, it's definitely enough. Yeah, walking around yesterday, like, I feel like there's a lot of, like, it's quite a big city. It's quite spread out. There's a lot of, like, different parts of it, I'd say, to see. But, like, not loads in each part, if that makes sense. Like, you've got the palace, you've got Silver Pagoda, but it's just more, like, wandering around rather than, like, things to actually do. Really, I'd say you've got to visit the museum and the fields,
mm-hmm.
but then you're kind of done.
Yeah, agreed. Should we move on to tips and tales of the week?
Yeah.
So, do you want to go first with your tip?
So, my tip with you is that
My towel.
No.
I thought you were looking at my towel.
No. Is that you leave things open.
That is very true, actually.
So, like, you'll use the sun cream. This is why I thought of it on the beach. You'll use the sun cream, and then you'll chuck it back in the bag, but the bottle's open. And I'm not about to use it. And it's just left open. And you did it also with the water. You just don't put the lid on properly. It's you just, like, leave it open. And it happens, like, all the time. Sun cream and water bottle and deodorant.
I think, okay. I'm going to say all those things are things that I think that you'll use too. And I'm not sure if you're done using it or not. So I'll leave it half open. Like, I won't fully close.
Yeah.
And just in case that you're going to use it as well afterwards.
Well, just shut it. I can reopen it.
But then I forget that you're not using it. And so it ends up, yeah.
And then we get sun cream everywhere. The water spill. And I'm like, this is all because you haven't shut the things.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I really should get in the habit of shutting things. Yeah.
That you're doing it?
No, I don't.
I thought you don't.
I don't intentionally do that, but I think it's my subconscious doing that. And then when the water still, I was like, that's not good. I need to not do that.
Mm.
Yeah. My tip, I think you're going to know what it is. And it is a kind of a repeat, but
when's it from?
It's a repeat from our first week travelling, I think it was. Not your lack of regard for your life.
Oh, don't do this again.
No, it's the way you cross roads and walk roads and just in general, you stress me out.
Why?
When we're in a city and you need to... I think maybe I'm the one that's paranoid and I'm the one that needs to chill. But for me, if I'm walking in the street and there's not much pavement, I will try and stay in as close as possible.
I do.
To the side. But no, you walk more in the roads than you need to, and you're not really in the road, but you still could be more to the right than you are. And
I walk right on the edge.
I disagree. And I'm just you. Okay, it's when you're on your phone. You scare me when you're on your phone looking at. I know that you're looking at directions. So I'm like, I can't.
I'm quite quick. I look and then put it away.
No, you're not quick. you will walk and look at your phone and because the pavements and the road conditions are not good, you can't walk and use your phone like you can in the UK. You have to be looking where you're stepping, because otherwise you're stepping in sewage and everything.
Yeah,
and you just stress me out when you do that, and
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I feel like I've pulled you back so many times on the road lately.
When we go to cross,
yeah,
I normally ask you, are we crossing now? And we agree it before we go.
Yeah, we have got better at it, but I think the first day I noticed it was holding your arm quite a lot to stop you from crossing.
But also, whenever we cross roads, you stress me out at the speed that you cross them at. You start, like, you're behind me, and we're walking single file, and then within a split second, you're, like, miles ahead of me.
Because once you start crossing a road,
there's
hesitation to begin with, because you need to find a space. As soon as you found a space, you speed, you, bomb it down so that you don't get hit. That's my tactic.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
All right, I'll stay further in, as close as I can. I think I've been staying very close in. All right, let's do tales.
On to tales.
So the first tale of the week is from Friday morning? No, Thursday morning, just before Waterborne Barley. So as I think I mentioned last week, I've been having a bit of an earache. And I was just worried about getting the flight on Friday. So, and it wasn't getting any better. So we decided to go to the hospital Thursday morning.
We can't complete a country without going to the hospital.
Yeah, had to have a hospital visit in Bali. Actually was a great trip.
Yeah, it was so
all
sweet.
Around great experience.
We love the Bali doctors here.
Highly recommend BIMC hospitals in Bali. And we went to the one in Kuta. Really, really lovely hospital. Spoke very good English. And the doctor was lovely, very, like, it was quite quick. We were probably waiting about half an hour. Yeah, had my ear looked at. He explained the whole thing with a diagram, was very patient with my million and one questions. Gave me the meds I needed. They seemed to have really helped. And even as a result, we had been struggling with where to get our visas for Cambodia printed. And we spotted whilst we were waiting there, they had a printer in the hospital. So before leaving, we asked if we could, if there was anywhere that they knew that we could get our visas printed. And they were lovely enough to print them off for us.
Yeah.
So that was, it worked out perfectly.
Yeah, I'm pretty glad we went to the doctor's.
Yeah.
They got free coffee too.
Yeah, you did get a free coffee. The only bad thing about the doctors was that then I found out that I then couldn't swim for the next, 5 days, whatever. But, which didn't matter for coming to Cambodia because we're in cities right now. But obviously then I couldn't go on the slides in Waterborne Barley.
Yeah.
So that kind of sucked.
Our second tale is our journey
to Cambodia,
to Phnom Penh. So our first flight was only 2 hours long. All the flights went really fast, actually.
The flights did go really fast. The day was quite long.
Mm-hmm, yeah, because we arrived at the airport at, 7 a.m. Our flight was only at 10:50. Mm. No, we arrived at 7:30. But there's literally nothing to do in Bali Denpasar Airport. We were waiting for hours. And it was so quick, actually. Anything for Cambodia to get in apart from the e-visa, which you can do beforehand.
They didn't even ask us for that in Bali.
There's no COVID checks anymore for Cambodia. Literally the easiest thing ever.
Yeah, it was so, so smooth coming through.
Mm-hmm. And then we obviously transited in Singapore. On the first flight, actually, you were sat by an Australian dude and he asked you to play chess.
Yeah, he was just chatting to me the whole time. He had a really cool, story. And he was going to Thailand,
mm-hmm.
But also transiting in Singapore. And yeah, we got into a chess game.
Yeah, Hannah.
I was really close to winning, but I couldn't work out how to trap him. So then in the end, he beat me. But I had taken majority of his pieces.
Yeah, you were good to begin
with. To start with.
You've learned from the master.
Yeah, but I still haven't quite learned how to finish it.
Yeah, so that was our first flight. And then Singapore Airport is really cool. So I was really looking forward to having the transit in Singapore. We only had...
Yeah, but you thought there was going to be a whole shopping centre and a waterfall.
I swear...
And there wasn't. There was a butterfly garden, which I was really impressed by to have in an airport. But there wasn't what you had told me there was going
to
be.
No, I was expecting Singapore to be grander than it was. But it was still a really cool airport.
It might have been we were at Terminal 3 in the transit part. I don't know if that's...
Made a difference,
yeah.
But yeah, there were still loads of shops, fancy shops.
Yeah, very fancy shops, Louis Vuitton.
So much to do. You could spend hours in Singapore Airport.
Yeah,
it was great.
They had a free movie area.
That's what I wanted to try out, but we were only there for 2.5 hours, so we couldn't. We literally just... And, you have to walk so far as well.
Yeah, because it's massive. We arrived in Terminal 1, so we had to get, a train to Terminal 3, and... Yeah, it's quite a trek to get to the gate.
But yeah, we went to the Butterfly Garden, which is just in the middle of the airport. Really nice. One of the best Butterfly Gardens we've been to, because we went to one in Bali, and, the butterflies were nice, but not that many. Whereas this one, they, were everywhere,
yeah.
And so colourful and so pretty.
Yeah, they
yeah.
were really, really nice.
Really nice. So I would recommend, if you're ever in Singapore Airport, go check it out. And then, yeah, we just had another 2-hour flight from Singapore to Phnom Penh. So easy through immigration again.
Really easy at Cambodia.
You had to fill in some forms and they literally just collected them. They didn't even look at them.
Yeah, I reckon they collect them all and chuck them all in the bin.
Yeah. And then our final tale is from yesterday. So the weather in Cambodia is like boiling during the morning. Well, this
I mean, it's boiling all day.
Yeah.
But like it's exceptionally sweaty during the morning.
Yeah. And then at the moment it's rainy season. So actually like in the afternoon yesterday we got caught out at Wat Phnom, one of the temples, and it started absolutely pouring it down, torrential rain. So we
found the same thing happened today. I feel like it's going to be a regular thing.
Yeah. So we found shelter in just like this,
just outside. They just had a
covered place, and we thought, oh dear, how long are we going to have to spend here? Because we were a good 15-minute walk from the central market, which is where we were planning to go next. And we were like, should we get tuk-tuk? Should we not? We waited it out for a bit. Ended up chatting to like this local Cambodian, a guy and girl. And he was desperate to practice his English.
Yeah.
He was so friendly.
He was so friendly. He was like 18 and he had taught himself English.
Yeah.
And he just really wanted to chat to us.
Yeah. And then we met this German couple then, started chatting to us.
They just asked us if we wanted to play cards. So we all just sat down and started playing cards.
Yeah, it was really nice. Just like chilling in the rain.
We played some cards. We chatted. Found out about everyone's travels and what they were doing here.
Yeah.
Like, it was just really fun.
Yeah.
I think we ended up having to wait for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
Until the rain stopped.
I think that's the beauty of like travel. You just meet so many random people just about, and yeah, I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was really fun.
It was really nice.
On to our lessons learned for the week. So our first lesson learned is to stay in a hotel that's nearer to like the coast in Uluwatu. So we stayed at Sultans of Swell.
Mm-hmm, which is a hostel.
Which is a hostel, which I wouldn't like particularly recommend.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was fine, there was nothing wrong with it. Like our room was really nice and like the actual place was fine. But it's not like Mad Monkey say that we're staying at now. Like it's not that kind of vibe. From particularly like I wouldn't say a social place or anything like that. And it's like sort of near a main road, which lots of restaurants and things. But to get to any of the beaches, you have to get a bike because they're like 20 minutes away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I think in hindsight, we just thought maybe next time if we were to do Uluwatu again, probably be nice to just have a hotel close to
like,
the beach.
I'd probably say stay near Padang Padang Beach, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I feel like there's a lot around that area.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It would just be, like, maybe a bit cheaper on bikes.
Yeah. The rest of our lessons come from Cambodia. So the first lesson that we learned is about the currency here in Cambodia. So they use mainly, well, there's US dollars and there's also Cambodian riel. And they use them both, I'd say half and half.
Yeah, they use them interchangeably. I say they probably use dollars more.
Mm.
Mostly they're like, this is $1, $5, I'd say predominantly they use that.
Mm-hmm.
But then they will use also Cambodian riel, but like less so, I think.
Yeah, it's just so weird because so today, for example, we went into the shop and gave her like $100. We were buying something for $5, gave her $100, we got $90 back, and then 20,000 riel,
yeah,
which is the same as $5. So they gave us like $95.
They'll give you like you can pay in mixtures. They'll give you back change in mixtures. Like everything on a menu is written as both.
Yeah,
most of the time, it's a bit strange. Yeah, like it's strange to have two currencies in one place and use them interchangeably. I don't know why they have it.
Yeah, I don't understand.
And it makes no sense.
It just means you have to know like each currency quite well. Like, $1 is 4,000 riel, and then £1 is 5,000 riel, and you have to just constantly be working things
out.
Yeah,
if I was confused in Bali, I'm so confused here.
But yeah, just bear that in mind. Our third lesson is from all the rain that's been happening. So, as I said, it's rainy season, and we definitely need to be carrying around a rain jacket.
Yeah, because like today, the same thing happened when we were at the killing field, and it poured, and then we were stuck to try and leave the killing fields. Because we didn't have a rain jacket or an umbrella, and when it starts raining, it just like suddenly is just torrential.
Yeah, and it's for a good couple of hours.
Yeah.
Well, there's bit times where like
where it's slightly lighter, and then you can make a run for it.
But yeah, we really should be packing a rain jacket and umbrella.
Yeah, it would be sensible. And finally, this was from today is, I don't know if it's also as a result of COVID, but when you're, if you just want to walk around the streets and hunt down a cafe, you can't do that. You really need to plan where you're going to go for food and just like go directly to there. Yeah, maybe COVID places have shut down as a result, or just like it's just not so much of a thing. In Cambodia, they have a lot of coffee shops, but they just sell coffee rather than like any food.
We were walking for ages
to try and find somewhere. They do have some really nice cafes. Like, we went to a really nice one for lunch today by the Russian market. It's called Vibe. But generally, like, I'd say find places that you want to eat and go directly to them.
Yeah, 100%.
Or just stay at Mad Monkey and eat in their restaurant, because it's really good and they have a really like wide menu.
Yeah, it's true. On to our highs and our lows.
What is your high of the week?
My high of the week. I feel a bit bad that this is my high, because I feel like you didn't enjoy this as much at all.
I feel like this might be my low.
Yeah. But my high was definitely Water Bomb Bali.
That's the best part of your week.
I think it was. I remember being really happy. I was like, this is so much fun. I felt like a child again.
Yeah.
We counted that I went on 12 slides, 10 of which were completely different to each other, and 2 of them I did it again because I loved it so much. But yeah, I really, really liked all the slides at Water Bomb Bali. The only one that I didn't complete was the one where you needed 2 people, and I felt too awkward to try and ask a couple if I could join them on the rubber dinghy. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to have to not complete the slide. But I really did enjoy it, and the whole day, yeah. It was sad that you couldn't come and do it with me. I was just walking up the stairs all alone, and there's like so many kids just running up and down the stairs, and I was like, I'm on my own, just going, doing 10 slides.
It was a good water park, though. There was lots of slides, there was pools, and there was ping pong.
Yeah.
It was a good place, so.
I think because the weather was really nice as well. It was like a completely blue day. And when you were right at the top of one of the sites, because some of them were really tall and really high, like you could see a whole view of Kuta and Bali, and it was really cool from up there. But yeah, that was my high of the week.
Nice.
What was yours?
Okay, my high of the week is from Uluwatu, from when we did yoga. It was a really lovely area. Like, that whole, it was called the Istana.
Mm-hmm.
The whole place was just, like, really lovely.
I feel like it was really fancy.
It was fancy, but, like, I liked our little area, and the instructor was really nice. And, like, I really like yoga at home, and I haven't done yoga for so long. And, like, the level of
The class was actually really good. I could do it.
The level of the class was really good, and, like, it was sustainable for
an hour and a half.
It didn't feel like it was too much. It felt like it was, like, just, like, a good amount for a nice morning.
Yeah.
It was, like, a good way to finish Bali, and to have done yoga there, I feel like it was a must.
It was a must do, yeah. And it was only £7 for the class, which isn't too bad.
No.
Like, UK, you'd spend £10, £12 for a class. And you had to, like, give your phone in, and you weren't allowed to have your phone at all.
Pierced it up in a bag.
Yeah, when you were in there, and, like, there were just so many people who were, like, I don't know if they were there on a retreat or anything. It was just very, like, your classic yoga...
Yeah.
Retreat vibe.
Meditate vibe. There was a lot of guys there that I was quite surprised by.
Yeah, a lot of, like, I don't know, just yogis and...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it.
What was your low?
So my low is the opposite of your high. My low was Thursday.
I don't like it when our highs and lows are
the same thing.
Same day. That's really bad.
I did enjoy it, but, like, also, out of the whole week, it probably is my low, because, like, I was really annoyed that I couldn't go on any of the slides. Like, I was equally looking forward to going to Water Bali. Like, I love a water park. I love a slide. They had giant ones that you were terrified of going on that I would have loved to have gone on.
Yeah.
Where they're, like, just, like, vertical drops. Like, that sounds brilliant.
Yeah, I know.
And they all looked so fun. And you came out so fast of some of them.
I did feel really bad because I really knew how much you loved it.
That I couldn't go on it.
Yeah. There was one slide where it was, like, the highest one in the whole park. And it is literally... You get in, and it's like a little turbo, I don't know, like,
like, you stand on a platform and then it, like, counts you down.
Yeah, you literally stand. It's really scary to just get in because all you've got holding you up...
It's like a tube.
...is the platform.
Yeah.
It's, like, the ground underneath your feet. And then that disappears and you just drop. And it's really scary.
Yeah, you were, like, debating not going on it.
And I was like, no, because Hannah can't do any slides. I have to do it for Hannah. I need to complete this. But yeah, you would have really...
I just felt like a mum following you around, like, holding towels, waiting for my child to come down, ready for the photo, ready for the video.
Yeah.
It was annoying, but, like, it was still, like, I still enjoyed being there. Like, the pool was nice.
We went down the lazy... Table.
Yeah, the lazy river was alright.
Yeah, but you could just do,
like,
that.
Not as exciting as a slide.
Yeah, I know. But...
That's fine. Yeah. My ears got better, and it might not have got better if I had done the slide. So, what's your low for the week?
So my low of the week, I feel like would have to be today, in terms of, like, so we did the Genocide Museum and then the Killing Fields, and I think it was kind of just when we were sitting in the cafe afterwards talking about it. It kind of just made me feel really, like, hopeless about humanity. And no, this sounds really, like, intense.
Yeah, it's really intense.
As in, like, it's just the fact that this genocide only happened 40 years ago, and it's in like our parents' lifetime, and it's not that far away from us. And the fact that terrible things happen in the world constantly, and no one knew at that time. And there's definitely things happening today, like genocide happening today in places in the world. Like, people, we kind of know about it. Like, we know about the Uyghur Muslims in China and that kind of stuff. And it's just the fact that evil and terrible things happen all the time, and you feel hopeless that you can't even stop it. And
no one is stopping it.
And no one is stopping it, and it's just terrible people getting into power and abusing power, and how can we do anything about it? And I don't know, it just kind of felt very overwhelming. So I'd say that was, like...
It hit hard.
It hit hard, and that was my low. On to our facts of the week.
Yeah, so do you want to explain a bit more about the genocide and... The Killing Fields?
Yeah, so I feel like all of our facts that we've learned are basically just from the past 2 days, because Phnom Penh is just...
It's full of history, really.
It's got a lot of history. The whole thing began with civil war in Cambodia. It's basically been communist for quite a couple of years.
But it's meant to be democratic now.
Mm. Basically, there was the Khmer Rouge army was trying to take over Cambodia... And there was just, like, a lot of war and a lot of fighting for many years. They gained power in 1975, and they had power for 4 to 5 years. And in those 4 or 5 years, they managed to kill up to 3 million people. Cambodians, foreigners, like...
Loads of children,
loads of
women.
Children and women, just for, like, absolutely no reason.
And also a lot of skilled workers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were trying to... basically get a society where people were not educated. They just kind of were wanting a peasant society where everyone is equal. There's no religion, there's no classes, there's no, like, everyone is just the same. We went first to the Genocide Museum, which is Tuol Sang S21 prison, where it was, like, the main torture area, and 18,000 people were taken there.
It was way bigger than I thought it was going to be. They had 3 blocks.
Mm-hmm. It was massive. And there's only ever been 12 survivors from that prison. And as we said, we met one of them. And he has a book, and I'd recommend it to anyone who wants to know more about it. Like, we read it as soon as we came back. Like, very informative, very interesting. And then we also went to the Killing Fields. So this is where they take prisoners who were at the prison... And they just take them to this other area to kill them.
To kill them, yeah. So they had, like, lots of mass graves there, which were just full of, like, different... One was, like, skilled workers, one was women and children, where they had just been, like, killed in terrible ways. And they would, there was a lot of, it was a lot of like long torture, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Like people were beaten, those people were, you know, tied up. They were made to confess to things that they didn't do. And different soldiers would kill like prisoners, and then soldiers would come and kill the soldiers that killed those prisoners, and it was like a chain.
Yeah. So at the killing fields, they've obviously got like a lot of remnants of the bodies, but they've only dug up 8,000 out of, and they say that 20,000 people died there. And actually, it was originally a Chinese cemetery.
Yeah.
So I asked the guide, why haven't they just dug up everything? If they know that all the rest of the bones and stuff are here, why don't they dig it all up and have it all? And he said, they can't really, because it was a Chinese cemetery before. And
yeah, but also he said they might get questioned onto, you know, if they were the real artifacts, if they were like, or if they were just like sort of fake and in a box and where they came from. Whereas when you walk around and you can see like bone coming up from the ground, you can see teeth, you can see clothing from that is buried underneath. And he said like having it all here shows that it's, you know, real.
It's real.
That
it's
still, as it's raining here, every time it rains, more comes up, he says. So like shows that it's actually, you know, it's recent, it's still there.
Mm-hmm. I definitely recommend getting a tour guide. We couldn't get it in the prison because they just didn't have a lot on, because unfortunately this weekend is election weekend in Phnom Penh, and so a lot of stuff is shut, and I think a lot of people aren't working, and basically we couldn't get a guide there, but we managed to get one at the killing field, which was really helpful. So
yeah, I would recommend having a guide.
Definitely get
like
it.
You get a lot of information, and
it's important.
Yeah. On to our upcoming plans. So tomorrow morning, we're getting a 6-hour minibus to Siem Reap. And we're going to be staying in Siem Reap for a few days. We're going to Angkor Wat, which is the biggest temple.
Yeah, biggest and oldest temple, I believe, in the world.
I feel like apparently you can spend days and days there.
Mm-hmm. So we're going to probably do like 2 days there, and then move on to somewhere else in Cambodia.
We'll see.
Yeah, so those are our plans for now. So if you want to stay up to date, follow us on Spotify, subscribe, turn on your notifications for whenever we have an episode.
You can follow us on Instagram at the Travelling To Podcast.
Podcast?
At the Travelling To Podcast for daily updates. If you have any questions, any stories you want to tell us, then email us at thetravellingtopod@gmail.com. But for now, we'll be back in your ears again next week. Thanks for listening. Bye.